In Jesus' name, amen. So the reading had two different bits, the first bit and the second bit. That's not a big surprise though, is it? So the first bit is this whole business about Pilate putting to death these people that were in Jerusalem at the temple. Seems like a bit of an extreme reaction, to be fair. Jewish people go to the temple and they make sacrifices. What's the big deal? The theory is they were like gangsters or like revolutionaries or, you know, like bad people. And people come up to Jesus and say, "Did you hear about Pilate? Pilate went and killed all those people at the temple." But Jesus immediately cuts it down. And what he says there is really interesting. The first thing he says is, "Do you think the Galileans were worse sinners than you?" If you don't know what that means, you won't get it. It's just such a bizarre thing to say. But at that time, suffering was always linked to sin. Suffering in theology was always linked to sinfulness. If you do wrong, you deserve to be punished. So the theory was, people coming to Jesus and saying these things, it was actually very simple. You've done something wrong, therefore you will suffer. But Jesus says no, and that's not it. And it's not the first time he says something like that either. If you go through the Gospels, you look at John, John 9, Jesus is walking, and he saw a man who'd been blind from birth. "Rabbi," the disciples asked him, "why is this man born blind? Was it because of his sin or his parents' sin?" Jesus answered, "It's not because of his sin or his parents' sin. This happens so the power of God could be seen in him. And we've got to carry out the tasks assigned by us by the one who sent us. The night is coming and we won't be able to do any work. But while I'm here, I'm the light of the world." And then he spit on the ground and made it into mud. And he spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. And he said to him, "Go and wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." Same thing, same place. "Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And so he went and he came back able to see. And then we get this thing. The tower in Siloam fell down. It's part of the aqueduct. So this aqueduct going to the pool. And that's what fell down when that tower fell on them. Are they guilty? No, they're not. And then Jesus says something even more interesting. "Unless you repent, you're all going to perish." It's a bit hard-hitting, don't you think? Unless you repent, you will perish. Simple as that. And then he tells this strange little parable. Right? Out of nowhere. What's that about? So I'm going to tell you what I think it's about. Because the fact is, folks, no one really knows. So this is what I think. What is this thing about the fig tree? What's it all about? The upshot is, the patience of God will not last forever. The patience of God will not last forever. Time is coming to an end. There is a time when Jesus will come back. Jesus promises he's coming back. We don't know when it is, and we're not meant to guess, because it's pointless. He doesn't know himself, so who are we to know? And we're not to waste time trying to figure it out. But God's patience is running out. That's what that parable ultimately is about. Repent or else. Simple as that. So, whenever you see this little parable, this thing with the fig tree, and people are preaching on it, it's always the same message. It's very lazy. It's a very lazy sermon, but a very obvious one. Look at your life. You look at your life. You look at what you're doing. You look at what you're producing. And the preacher will always link it to the Sermon on the Mount. Always. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. And as you identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. This is the same sort of idea. Same sort of idea. So if you're a fig tree, you've got one job in life. Your job as a fig tree is to do one thing. I ask you to do one thing. Give figs. Simple as that. If you're a fig tree, that's it. I'm not saying, give me grapes. Give me apples. I want figs. You're a tree. Make figs. You don't make figs, you get burned in the fire. That's what it says, isn't it? So The patience of God will eventually run out because the guy who owns the vineyard, he's had enough. He's sick of all this. I'm not doing this anymore. That thing's taking up all my room. Look at it, soil and everything. It's doing everything. Right? So, and no. Don't be like that. Be patient. Be patient. Give it one more chance. And the really good gardener, I'm assuming, is doing the right thing. I know nothing about gardening. Lots of fertilizer, lots of stuff. All the rest of it, we'll give it one more go. Doesn't work again, we've done all we can. And that's the patience of God. And that's a typical sermon for what you're going to get from this passage. All right? Now, you can have that and we're done. Right? Or we can do something else. That's a typical sermon you'll get from the passage through. But here's the thing. It's always about the individual. Every preacher I've ever heard talk about this always talks about you. Look at yourself, examine yourself. Look at what you're doing. No, let's do something different. What about us? What about you? It's time with Baptist Church. Jesus isn't talking to individuals. Jesus is talking to groups. As I'm talking to a group tonight, you're collectively known as Time with Baptist Church. So, let's think about that. And let's think about it in a positive way, because a good tree will produce good fruit. And a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. It is impossible. So let's be positive about church. And this is the connection, right? Because you're in a vacancy, okay? Vacancy causes many things to happen all at the same time. First thing you need to do in any vacancy is give your church secretary lots of love. Right? You've got to. You've got to give it to her, because all of a sudden, things you would think are dead easy, you know, organising pulpit supply, you think that would be simple, wouldn't you? You pick up a phone or email somebody, it's not that simple. It can be really, really difficult doing something really simple, like pulpit supply, filling up the church on these Sundays. And that's just one job. No, I mean, all the safeguarding, no, I mean, everything else, all the other stuff has to be done. All of a sudden, the church secretary becomes, you know, overwhelmed. So you've got to give a church secretary lots of love. And alongside that, it's fairly obvious, you've got to give your leadership a lot of love as well. Because it's a really, really hard thing. Vacancy is usually quite a hard thing. But here's the trick, folks, and here's the positivity about it. Vacancy is a massive, massive opportunity for any church. It's a massive opportunity. And I'm going to tell you why. You've got the opportunity now to start looking around and thinking to yourself, what do we do that we do well? What do we do as Time with Baptist Church? What do we do well? Where's the positivity? Be positive about yourselves. What do we do well? You can also be positive in a different way and start looking at other things as well. Okay, what do we not do so well? And it's actually a positive step to be honest with yourselves and say, looking around, what do we not do that so well? Do we need to keep it or do we need to ditch it? That can often be hard. I know, I get that. But it's a positive step. Thinking about things that are good, thinking about things that aren't so good. And vacancy is a massive opportunity to do it. And it's a really important thing to do as well. Okay, I've been a Baptist minister for years, right? A long time. Mm-hmm. And I was working with a Baptist student not so long ago. And one of the things we did, we pulled every church profile available at that time, about 12, 18 months ago. Every church profile, all of them. And we went through them together because he was coming up to finishing and going into the settlement process. And one of the things that was dead interesting was, I'm going to tell you a little secret. See, church profiles, for the most part, they're dead boring. They're really dull. Everybody's taught how to do it. You get a regional minister saying, you've got to do this. And they're just boring. You're reading it and thinking, well, you've told me about today and you've told me about yesterday. What are you doing tomorrow? If I'm a prospective minister looking at this church and this is your profile, which you have sweat blood to put together, tell me about tomorrow. It's good you're telling me about today, and it's interesting to know where you were before. What are you going to do tomorrow? Where's the vision? Whenever I'm reading a church profile, and I do read them, you know, because I'm quite sad like that. When I read them and I'm thinking about churches, I've always think to myself, where's the itch in this church? Where's the itch? Every local church is getting an itch. God gives you an itch. And your job as a church is to give it a good old scratch. The hard part is trying to figure out what's the itch. What's the edge? And then you give it a good old scratch. Where's the edge? That's the opportunity of vacancy. That's the opportunity of the leadership team working with church members and whoever else is on that, you know, kind of road with you. The positivity, the good fruit. How are we going to produce good fruit? Because God's given us an edge and we're going to give it a scratch and we're going to write it down so that when the profile goes to, every minister has access to the profile. I don't know if you're aware of that. Every minister can see it, all of them. I'm not in the settlement process and I can see it, okay? So it's just one of those things now. Every minister can see every profile. And the ones that are really interesting, the ones that jump out, because there's, see, 50, 60 on there any one time, tell them about tomorrow. Don't wait for your minister to come in and do a vision. It's too late by then. The minister, whoever it happens to be coming into this church, doesn't know this church. They know what you've told them and they know what you've written down. They don't know the history. They don't know. They've come in brand new. And it can often be a source of tension because if members and leaders are thinking, we'll sort the vision out once the minister turns up, it doesn't work like that. And it can often be a disaster. It doesn't work. But if the church have actually sat down and said, this is our time, this is our church, this is the itch, and this is how we're going to scratch it, and you say to a prospective minister, are you with us or are you not? Can you do this or can you not? And the honest ones will say, do you know what? I can't, because it's not my gift. But if you don't have that, you're floundering, and then you're not sure. Be positive. Be positive about yourselves, because Tamworth Baptist Church is not a bad church. It is not. If it was, I would tell you. I mean, nobody seems to lie to you. I've got no agenda. You know, you know, I work every Sunday. What do you want me to do? You know, I've got no agenda, but it's a good church with a good reputation. I'll tell you how I know that to be true. There's a guy that does the same job as me, a guy called Matt Farrow. He was here a number of years ago doing a placement with you. And he's a managing chaplain in a prison, same as me. He works in a women's prison because he thought that'd be easy. Or easier than what it was. You know, women's prisons are notorious for being the hardest places on earth. He speaks really highly of this church. Really highly. And me and him are good friends. And we came to it just by conversation and figured out that I live in Tamworth. He thought I lived in Birmingham, which is, you know, you'd assume I would. But he speaks highly of you. And always has done. I know it's a good church. With a good reputation. Be positive about yourselves. Be positive and be proud. But always be thinking, where's the itch? Where's the itch? Where's the itch? So, a good tree produces good fruit. Be the fig tree that doesn't get thrown into the fire. There's the opportunity in vacancy. That's the opportunity for you guys to come together and actually pray together and work it all out. Where's the itch? Where's the positivity? What do we do well? What are we going to be doing tomorrow? How are we going to give Bev some love? These are the things that you can be doing as a church. Now, I know that's a very specific message for a very specific time, and I get that. This is more than thinking about, oh, what fruit are you producing in your life? Right now, that doesn't really matter. What matters is you guys pulling it together. Pulling it together. Coming up with a really interesting profile. And people will think, they're telling me what they're doing tomorrow. I like that. That's a church I want to talk to. But if you don't tell me what you're doing tomorrow, I don't know what I'm walking in on. I'll look at somebody else. There's your opportunity. I apologise to you for being straight in my eye line. I've been looking at you all night. I'm very conscious of it and I am deeply sorry because you sat right there. I'm very conscious of it. I'm thinking, that poor woman. But you're not in any trouble. Be positive, guys. That's what this is about. So, to recap, okay? Show your church secretary and your church leader some love. Think about the itch which God has given you and how you're going to give it a good scratch. Think about what's good about your church. Present a really good church profile to, I don't know how many ministers there are. How many are there? Any idea? I have no idea. A couple of thousand Baptist ministers maybe? They can all see your profile. It's a good church. Be proud of what you've done. Be proud of where you were, but be proud of what you're going to do tomorrow. And you're going to do well. You're going to do well. I know it, because I know. and that's a really good thing. So I just want to say in closing, thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to you tonight. I do really appreciate it. And just be proud of yourselves. Be proud of who you are and be proud of what you're going to do next. Because I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray.